This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, August the 28th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today. Recent approval of a gene therapy, Zolgensma, for spinal muscular atrophy, joining Spinraza, also known as nusinersen, which has been on the market since 2016, has injected a new urgency into global efforts to screen all newborn babies for the disease. SMA should be a part of every newborn screening list in the U.S. and across the world, said Vincent Carson, M.D., a neurologist at the Clinic for Special Children in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. He told this to SMA News Today during a phone interview. We need to speed that up, because now we have treatments available, and time is of the essence when it comes to preserving motor neuron function. Zolgensma, developed by Novartis, a subsidiary of AveXis, won approval from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on May 24, 2019, to treat all types of SMA in children younger than 2 years old. Called a one-time treatment, its retail price of $2.1 million makes it the world's most expensive drug. Yet, over a 10-year period, it's half the price of Biogen Spinraza, which costs $750,000 for the first year and $375,000 every year thereafter. Zolgensma's approval came 4 days after the publication of an article that outlined essential steps toward newborn screening for rare diseases. It was published in the journal JAMA Neurology. 5 of the article's 13 authors represent the Muscular Dystrophy Association, which governed the review, including Rodney Howe, MD, Chair Emeritus of the Pediatric Department of the University of Miami's Miller School of Medicine. Dr. Howe, who also chairs MDA's board, said the following in a press release, quote, "Newborn screening is one of the most important and impactful public health programs in the United States. Since its inception, this program has saved and improved the lives of thousands of children. Its continued expansion will benefit many more families by enabling the care their children need from day one." End quote. None of the 3 neuromuscular diseases discussed in the article, SMA, Pompe disease, or Duchenne muscular dystrophy, originally met the criteria for inclusion on the Recommended Uniform Screening Panel, also known as RUSP, R-U-S-P, because effective treatments simply were not available at that time. Pompe was added to the RUSP in 2015, and last year, the Advisory Committee on Heritable Disorders in Newborns and Children, which was created by Congress to promote a uniform national panel of diseases, recommended SMA as well. At present, the RUSP list includes 35 core and 26 secondary conditions. Yet, as the article points out, it often takes years for RUSP-approved diseases to be adopted by all states, and the Newborn Screening Pilot Study Program is a fragmented system. Many state health departments do not consider research to be part of their mission, or are prohibited from conducting certain kinds of research, it continues, arguing for a national infrastructure to conduct population-based screening on a research basis. At present, 7 states, including Indiana, Missouri, Minnesota, New York, Pennsylvania, Utah, and Vermont, routinely screen newborns for SMA, according to the MDA, while 16 more have either passed laws requiring such screening or in the process of doing so. States that have begun or are considering pilot screening programs include Arkansas, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Massachusetts, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. California, with 40 million residents, the nation's most populous state, requires testing of new disorders to begin within 2 years of its inclusion to the RUSP. Florida, whose 21.6 million inhabitants make it the 3rd most populous state, requiring the state's Genetics and Newborn Screening Advisory Council to review new RUSP additions within 1 year. If the council favors implementation, the state must do so within 18 months. Yet, newborn screening efforts at the federal level are woefully underfunded, said Kristen Stevenson, the MDA's Chief Policy and Community Engagement Officer. She said this during a phone interview. For fiscal 2019, Congress appropriated only $16.4 million for the Heritable Disorders Program of the Health Resources and Services Administration, known as the HRSA, and $16 million to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, for its newborn screening programs. A bill to increase both these appropriations passed a House committee in May, but it is not yet supported by the full Congress. The MDA, Stevenson said, is working with groups like the March of Dimes to get more funding at the federal level and prodding states to begin screening newborns for diseases included in the RUSP. The approval of Zolgensma provides a new and exciting opportunity to demonstrate again the importance of having every baby identified at birth who can benefit from treatments, she said. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Development Manager Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
Hey everyone! As SMA Awareness Month comes to a close, I wanted to share one more story with you all from the 31 Days of SMA initiative. If you haven't been following 31 Days of SMA, please check it out on our Instagram page and on our main website. We have a wide range of stories from people in the SMA community, and we'd love for you to experience those. Today's post is by Natalie Russo, titled, When Two Siblings Have SMA. In order for someone to have SMA, both parents must be carriers of the gene. If both parents are in fact carriers, there is a 1 in 4 chance that both parents will pass along the non-functioning gene. My brother and I are both in that 25%. After months of testing, my parents had just received my SMA diagnosis when my brother JC was born. They were still trying to cope with that information while they wondered if he was going to have the same fate as me. His legs seemed to start off stronger than mine, but it wasn't long before he couldn't stand up anymore. It was then that they knew he had it too. My parents still made sure we grew up with a normal childhood. They didn't focus on what we couldn't do. We just participated in the things we could. We went to school with everyone else, had many friends, played outside, joined Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, had sleepovers, had chores, got in trouble when we didn't do those chores, etc. I knew that my brother and I were different from the other kids, but our family adapted to our differences. From a parent's perspective, I imagine there are probably many more challenges that come with having two kids with SMA. But from my point of view, it's hard to imagine what it'd be like to have a sibling without SMA. Though I didn't necessarily think about it directly, it was nice to know that my brother was going through the same challenges that I was. It was comforting to know when I had a hard day or was upset about not being able to do something, like gymnastics for instance, I could come home and be in a safe place where I wasn't surrounded by subliminal able-bodied comparisons. I admit that I did sometimes wish I had an able-bodied sibling to assist with some shenanigans, but hey, that's what friends are for. Now, I do have to say that I sometimes envied that JC was second born, because he knew what to do and what not to do by the time I was done figuring out new things, like going to college or getting a job. Now that we are adults though, we are on an even playing ground. He has actually exceeded me in some firsts, a testament to my parents raising us to be independent, productive people. Please check out other stories from 31 Days of SMA, and let us know in your thoughts in our forums. We would love to hear from you. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Development Manager for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.